Earth as a singular planet. In fact, it is anything but. What it is a story not of a universe,
but a multiverse.
Where universes and planets, such as Earth, were replicated and mirrored across a vibrating, infinite plane. Some barely different from the next.
Others drastically so.
This is DC On Screen. Every week, Dave and Jason talk about the multiverse of DC properties on film and television. But be warned, if it's been officially released, you can expect they'll spoil it.
Welcome into DC On Screen, episode 478. I'm your host, David C. Robertson. This is my co-host, Jason Goss.
Hello.
Today, we are talking about Black Lightning Season 1, with a focus on the season finale, Shadow of Death, The Book of War. the titles of these episodes, man.
I didn't understand the book of part. It's not the end of the world. I just didn't understand why that, like, all the, I just didn't understand. I mean, the titles themselves were perfectly good titles.
They're all just like super, super long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I was really, really glad I didn't have to reference them. Like, I'm glad we don't write articles instead of just review things with our mouths.
Well, I mean, you know, if we were still doing the show like we used to do, I would have wound up having to write those a whole bunch. I'm glad we're not doing the show like we used to.
No, I mean, if we were doing the show like we used to, we would have had nervous breakdowns by now.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think we already did that.
We did. We kind of did that. Yeah. And that's why we do it like this. Yay.
All right, so I thought this was an okay season finale. I think the season was damn good.
Yeah. I still think it, like, it took a little bit of a step. It's still a very mature show for CW, and I think the most mature thing that we watch on the CW in certain ways.
Mm-hmm.
But it did get a little more supernatural than it started, but I'm not taking anything away from that. I just thought it started a little more gritty and went into the surreal, and I can appreciate that.
I don't mind it getting more supernatural. I guess I'll go ahead and talk about that. That was one of my big disappointments for the show, was, like, I really liked Lala, right? Like,
up front?
What's the guy's name? Yeah, William Catlett. Yeah, he was great. Everything, though, after his resurrection seemed shoehorned in and weird and rushed. Like, you can't just have, you know, Tobias Whale throw out a comic book name like the Tattooed Man and then blow him up in the next scene. I mean, of course, we didn't see a body.
No, and they point that out in particular. We don't know if he blew up. Even though that was a confined room and something blew the door off. So, as viewers, we have to be thinking, oh, seriously, he's got to be dead. He's got to be.
And I'm like, is Tobias Whale, like, resurrecting these people with technology? Or, I mean, it's got to be some kind of mysticism, right? I mean, for him to know exactly what he was going through, like, oh yeah, everybody you kill is going to come back to haunt your ass and turn into a tattoo. And
I know. That part actually interested. Like, he's one of the fun parts. Like, I really like Tobias Will's character in this show.
I do too.
Because he's maniacal. Awesome. And that's always fun to watch. Even up front in this episode, when he's quoting Napoleon and just saying, like, and that was some French asshole. Like, that's hilarious to me. Like, he's just fun to watch. But with Lala, I don't freaking know. And I'm like, I keep reminding myself of that scene where Lady Eve is shoving a freaking probe into that guy, and he just wakes up and no one knows. Like, she's just doing what looks like liposuction to a dead guy, and then suddenly that guy's awake. I don't know what to make of all that. I don't. But no. I keep feeling like it's maybe connected. Like, maybe there's something in the 100 that is revivalist in some way, and I don't know, man. But, and I don't know where he's getting this, but I was hoping for you, because me and you had talked about Lala, and you thought he'd gone off the rails. You thought his character had gotten a little weird for you. Like, I was hoping for you, at least, like, Lala maybe got redeemed a little bit. Did that happen at all?
I mean, look, man, Catlett killed it. He did a great job with what he was given. If this is the last we've seen of Lala, I feel a little cheated, I guess, because I think that was a really good actor. I feel like there were a lot of important and really cool ideas they could have explored, you know, being that Lala was one of Jefferson's former students.
Yeah, plenty of that.
There was a lot that they could have, like, they could have actually had, like, a real arc instead of basically making him the catalyst for a very strange... I'm going to go ahead and just say supernatural type of story.
Yeah. Well, you had a problem with like the tattoos coming to life and all that, and I get that.
I did. I thought it was really stupid.
Yeah. And, like, the
yeah,
idea
I'm not
that...
looking for realism in a comic book show necessarily, but give me a little play with. Let me know what's happening.
Well, that's what I was wondering is, like, you didn't see the point in it, and at least in this episode they kind of finally gave you the point is, oh, no, that's mm-hmm. just there to haunt you. That's in your head.
But it makes it seem like it's going to be there for anyone they resurrect. You know what I mean?
So I don't maybe, know. Like, that's the fun part. Maybe it's like roll of the dice. Oh, here's your weird side effect. Good luck.
The only reason I don't think that's true is that Tobias Whale knows way too much about it. Like, if he has like done this to other people, he would, and that they had the same experience, he would know about it.
Yeah. But you know got to believe like, that asshole would just kind of keep that under his sleeve and think it was hilarious.
Well, sure. But, you know, I gotta guess that he knew about this, whatever, either by, you know, looking at some sort of ancient demonic text or something and saying, like, oh, these are the side effects, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, you know, somebody else being having been given the treatment. And I have to imagine that there might be another version of this out there. We haven't seen, like, Lala wasn't any of the comic book versions of the Tattooed Man. So, yeah. If there's, like, a different version of him out there somewhere in this universe, that'd be cool to see next season. I would have loved for it to be William Catlett. I would have loved for Lala to have like a real arc with Jefferson, more so than he did here. But he did a great job with
like
what he had.
A couple episodes up front, but not a lot. And yeah, he did a great job, especially when he's kind of trying to control his mind. I like you can act mm-hmm. with your face. I thought he acted with his face very well.
Yeah, he did.
I was happy with that guy.
Yeah. So they, you know, I wasn't thrilled with the kid. Maybe not even the kid. This wasn't the kid's fault. It was the editing. Earlier in the season, we actually see Alvin Pierce get killed, mm-hmm. and we keep cutting in that flashback. Yeah. We keep cutting to young Jeff under the bed.
Sure.
And like, he whispers, "Dad." And then we see like more beating and more of killing, and then it comes back to him, and it's the same exact thing of the same shot of him going, "Dad." I'm like, yep, it's not gonna change, buddy. Like, yep, that's still your dad.
Yeah,
that's still your dad. Like, that was like, I feel like the first thing that like yanked me out of the show
was cutting to that same shot. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. It like, reeked vaguely of
like
of
in
Green
editing
Lantern.
They realized they wanted more reaction shots, but they just didn't have them, and thought, well, yeah. Throw them in, time it differently, and hope no one notices.
Yeah, but that is nitpicking. It's just, you know, it's there, and they did it a couple of times. Like, they did it in two different episodes, the same series of shots, and I was just like, stop.
Yeah. Yeah, well, all right, so how did you like the unabbreviated version, though? You got the full unabridged situation here.
Yeah.
Going back with
Dad. You know,
Dad.
Okay, so they had to have had this planned out and shot and stuff before Black Panther came out, but the whole, like, let's hang out in the afterlife and talk with Dad thing, I got all teary, but I was thinking, like, all right, I feel like I've just seen this. It's not Black Lightning's fault. It's just one of those things where it just happens, you know?
Yeah.
In two different properties at the same time.
Sure. And it's a trope in general that you go back and, you know, for a second you're dead and you see your family, ancestors, however you want to say it. It's it's a trope in general.
Mm-hmm. I think they even did it on Daredevil, too. He didn't talk to his dad, but it was like he, like, dreamed of, like, the night that he stitched his dad up or something. Or maybe that was just a flashback. I can't remember.
I think that one was a flashback.
Was it just a flashback?
I think so. God, that's been years ago.
I know.
Back when that was a budding universe.
Yeah. I think this is the best show on the CW, though, as far as, like, the DC stuff.
Yeah,
like,
probably.
There's some stuff that's pretty hokey.
A line from his dad that I loved?
Yes.
Peace ain't always peaceful, son?
Uh-huh.
That's one of those lines where I feel like you could do, like, if you were in a philosophy class, that line could take up a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And I did love it. And I just generally liked him being able to go back, and even for my own reasons, being a guy who throws on, like, 1940s swing music on a Saturday morning on a vinyl player, enjoyed the mm-hmm. idea that, like, you go back in your own little, you're back in your memories, and someone throws on a soundtrack to it. Like, some part of that connected to me.
Yeah, I liked that. I like music and smell is often like a big catalyst for memory.
Sure.
And that was really cool to me. Sure. Like,
And by the way, great soundtrack for this episode. Loved the music.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's true of like every episode, though, for me.
That is
like,
also true. They have pulled some great, great music out of it. And it's not even like, stuff I can name. It's just stuff that when they played it, I thought, damn, that's a good song.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just didn't think to Shazam it, but I probably should and make a Black Lightning playlist.
Right. Everything but the theme. That theme, man.
I'm sure there's more to that song than just that one little lyric, but man, I've heard that too many times.
There is. It's just as, you know, uninspired and bored sounding as the rest of it is.
It would have been more fun for me if they had done. Oh, and this ties into something. It would have been more fun for me if they had just done maybe a different part of that song the entire time. Like if you put it all together through the whole series, you got or through season one, you got kind of the opening theme song. But this cracked me up. You remember when Gambi's explaining to Jin, kind of on the back deck of that gorgeous house they're hiding out in?
Uh huh. One of Gambi's massive exposition dumps that he has throughout this entire episode. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. But I cracked the hell up because, like, I was enjoying listening to, like, oh, that's the full story of Tobias. Oh, that's Sonnet. Oh, that's Pink. And I kind of thought, like, well, that's actually a unique approach to explain all of the villains completely and fully at the end of the season.
Right.
I'm not trying to knock on it. It's just unique. I don't know that I've ever actually seen that before, that you go through the entire season with all these people, and then someone just does the expo dump on you.
Yeah, I hate that, though.
In the last episode of that season.
I could have totally, like, let's trade out some scenes of...
You wanted to switch out? Do a little plug and play somewhere else?
Yeah, let's take some of the scenes of Jennifer being a complete douche about her powers.
Oh,
let's take out a whole bunch of the Lynn looking worried for no reason, or... Lynn looking worried, but we already know that she opposes what they're doing, so
we don't have to deal with that
again, do we?
Yeah.
let's take out some of that stuff and put in, like, you know, real, like, flashbacks and motivations, which, with Tobias, when he goes and sees his dad with his sister, and he and his sister go and see his dad, Eldridge, and he snaps his spine, I was like, holy shit, that's awesome!
Mm-hmm.
I love that episode. I love what they did with that.
It's a great flashback.
Yeah, absolutely. I could have used a little more of stuff from, what was her name? Cyanide. Whatever her name was. Yeah. I thought, you know, and maybe it's due to the fact that the season or the season only had like, what, 12 episodes? Maybe they had to truncate it a bit.
The exact number 12, as you're 13 talking,
episodes.
But
yeah.
I'm not sure.
But, you know. I feel like they tried to shoehorn in a few too many things.
13 episodes.
I felt like maybe we shouldn't have tried to wrap everything up. You know what I mean? Like, well, and they didn't wrap everything up. But
if anything, that's actually my complaint about the episode. I enjoyed the season. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed this episode. But
the absolutely
part that cracks me up the most to do the skip to the end thing is like the season ends with Tobias Wells saying, "I'm going to get Black Lightning." Like, this was an episode of Looney Tunes where Wily's just reconfirming his problems with Roadrunner. That's where we started, man.
Yeah. Like, I would have been fine with, you know, like, the whole, like, ASA storyline, I feel like could have been a season two thing. Everything with Gambi and everything with the ASA could have been season two. Like, have that shit happening in, like, just in the background in, like, the B plot. Like, what is this? I guess we'll find out next season. What's, you know, Gambi's role in all of this? We'll find out next season.
That...
Like, I was way more interested in Tobias Whale. Way more interested in Lala. Wanted to see that fleshed out more. And I feel like we got the opposite. Like, they flipped it on us, like, of what I thought it should have been.
Well, same time, you know what I mean? You still get more time with Tobias Whale, which, by the way, major critique for Tobias Whale this episode/season.
Mm-hmm.
Needles don't go that far into the neck at that angle. Dear God, he shot himself in the trachea.
Yeah.
Like,
see, I think the perfect solution would have been to, like, focus on Lala this season. We could have Tobias Whale there.
Yeah. And it was a great scene. I mean, Lala's standing up after getting his ass beat in one punch, just like you punch like a bitch. That's fantastic. Or you hit like a bitch, whatever that.
Yeah.
Fantastic. loved the bravado exchange between those two.
Yeah. But the ASA stuff, I think we could have almost entirely lost.
I would have been okay with most of it not existing outright. Because I have several problems with it. One,
yeah,
just to work backwards, is did I miss something? Or like, why did everyone suddenly know? Why were there news stories suddenly about a thing that no one really knew existed until it was over? And it was over in a clandestine way.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't know what I missed, but damn.
Why did, I really hope they did something with that Hinch person, that one guy who was hanging out. That one ASA guy who saw that, like, Black Lightning and Thunder were were the Pierces and all of that. Like, that's got to cause some trouble, I hope.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean...
And then it's like, oh, it's not really the ASA. There were
problems with the ASA and blah, blah, blah. And I like that at first... well, that ties into something else. Gambi putting that to an end. Fantastic.
That was fun.
And I loved the whole, you're right, I am a monster. Blah, 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 blah. Great.
Yeah. But, like, the one-liner about Proctor running a rogue operation basically means they get to wrap up the story, like, a bit neater than I would have liked. Like, I don't know, man. Like, suddenly it's not the ASA. It's just a rogue version of the ASA. And it's...
I know. But, like, the one thing it gave me for just a second was I really appreciated how, like, Tobias Well was like, oh, okay. So, we've got our A-team. Their A-team somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Let's do this. Great. But then it just... I don't know. It cycled into Proctor, who was just this, like, boring, stale, we've done this before kind of character.
Yeah. Proctor is, like, I mean, heavy-handed. Like, he already looks like Donald Trump and says some pretty shitty racist things. Like, I don't need to hear Make America Great Again, like, even once, much less, like, two or three times. No. But
that was...
He's a cartoon.
Oh, I counted. It was twice, and it was cheesy as fuck both times.
I feel like the audience, you know, we as an audience got that he was a racist prick right off the bat.
We did.
Like, that guy, by the way, that guy is never a good guy. Like, I've never seen that actor really, play a good guy.
I mean, I understand that when I see him on screen, I'm like, oh, he's going to betray somebody.
Like, oh, man.
He's going to kill somebody. Like, seriously, when I see him, like, if on par for the times I've seen that character actor, if he doesn't rape a child, I think that, well, that's probably pretty good for him. Like, he's just always a bad guy.
I don't think I've ever seen that. I've never seen him do that.
I never have, but I always expect, maybe this is the time.
Today is the day.
Yeah. I've never seen him, like, on screen, and he just cuddles a puppy and laughs when it licks him. I don't, like, I've never seen that.
If he does, if I ever see him cuddle a puppy, I expect that he's going to put a bullet in that puppy's head. By
absolutely,
the end of
the scene. To prove a point to a cadet of some kind. Yes, absolutely.
Now you've just turned him into Garrett from S.H.I.E.L.D.
Because we're up on S.H.I.E.L.D. Because S.H.I.E.L.D. is killing it right now. Yeah, I get it. I get it. But yeah, like he was cheesy as hell. It was boring to watch that character.
He was bad. Like the one moment of joy that I had from that character was when he goes to escape and his little plebe or whatever runs up and tries to get in and he won't let him. And he's like, what the hell, man? And he just gives him like this like weird look, like, deal with it.
It's like, it's the shit-eating grin. That's what I would call a shit-eating grin. Yeah.
It wasn't even quite that. It was just like, I don't know, man. It was funny the way he did it, but
it may be
I'm not saying that actor's not good. But
oh, he's great at doing what they train him to do. No, sorry. He's great at doing what he's been doing for so long.
Yeah.
It's not his fault that I didn't like his character. That's what he does, and he does it well.
Yeah,
I'm just bored by that character in certain circumstances, and this is definitely one of them.
I wanted there to be more to his character than just, you know, racist who likes to experiment on black kids.
Yeah.
Who hates metahumans. All right. Why are you creating them? Oh, okay, so you can have more. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
He's like the shittiest version of Amanda Waller ever.
The least interesting Amanda Waller. Yep, we found him. It's that guy.
Racist Waller. Alrighty.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would have rather have just like strung that out, made it a little deeper and not had that dude be so like cartoony. He wasn't even that cartoony up until like the last couple episodes. And it was what the hell just happened?
Seriously, when they zoomed in for the "Make America Great Again" line, I was, oh, come on, man. It's like, the last thing I'm going to do is wear a MAGA hat, but damn it. That's just, that's a cheesy delivery for a forced line.
Mm-hmm.
It was just.
I have seen Kirk Cameron faith films be more subtle. It was bad. But yeah, I mean, whatever, you know, I don't know. I just feel like they tried to cram too much into this season. And they flip-flop too much on the character, like, on the relationship motivations. Like, I don't know, at any given moment, I don't know whether Lynn and Jeff are interested in each other again. I don't know if, like, suddenly he's mad at her because she might want to give her daughter a choice as to whether or not she has powers. Like, which it was stupid. I'm like, come on, man.
Well, that was weird for a couple reasons, though. It's like, he kind of presumed her intentions without them having a conversation about it. And it was weird that she had intentions and just got yelled at and didn't like explain herself, because they let her in that episode explain herself later.
But to another person.
Yeah, that was strange. I mean, that's just not how things work. You don't do that. It was a little bizarre.
I feel like Jeff's character was just like way too hot-headed. Like
a little bit.
He was too much of a piece of shit to Gamby.
Well, I don't know. I mean, like
I get it. But
with the anger at Gamby, I get it for the amount of time that it was there and made sense within the context of the season. You know, an episode and a half of him being annoyed with Gamby about something. Okay, fine, whatever.
But to the extent that he's like, we can't trust him. I'm like, dude raised you.
I know, but if you find out that dude raised you to literally insert anything here.
Well, he didn't raise him to, he raised him after. He left. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, he was like, no, this is bullshit. I'm leaving.
Yeah.
I'm not doing this anymore.
I get that.
You know, I mean, I'm not saying he shouldn't have been pissed, but, like, I don't know. To like, just ignore it. To ignore, like, all of the, like, big flags saying, like, hey, man, this guy's in your corner. Remember how he, like, raised you for, like, 20 years? And then, like...
I get that. But when, like, when you're betrayed, sometimes you think it's the people around you. And I don't know. For the time that it was on screen, I was willing to accept that.
I'm willing to accept it also because they had generally played up the notion that Jefferson was having trouble, like, rage issues anyway.
Sure, yeah.
Like, you know,
it made sense.
Stuff happens.
In the course of
racist cops or whatever it is, and he's like, he's about to Hulk out and his eyes get all electrified, and he's like, nope, I'm going to breathe and calm down and do the thing.
Yeah. Also, it was nice to see that as a young man, he had kind of the, how do I put it, electric eyes? I don't know. It was nice to see that his powers were around when he was young. I actually liked the exposition early on that we were talking about. One of the expo dumps of... And I even liked Thunder's... we are literally walking down memory lane. Anyway.
Uh-huh. That was bad. I'm glad you liked it, man.
It's kind of like... It's one of those right in between lines where I like it because it's completely true, and as the viewer, I'm like, that tracks. And within the show, I think it's a little wooden. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, one of the great things about the Gamby info dumps is when he's telling you a story, he's a little bit like, I mean, I know that guy first and foremost from Mortal Kombat Annihilation, so I just always feel like Raiden is talking to me.
Nice.
He's like, back in the old days, when the Middle Realm was more blah blah. You know, it's just
you're just used to this. Like, you're just like, when he opens his mouth, you're like, cool. We're gonna get a backstory.
It's sort of like how every time I hear like Morgan Freeman, no matter where he is or whatever, like I feel like I'm in Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
Like, I remember Andy Dufresne. Like,
You're
not even in Shawshank right now. You're playing God right now. I'm like, I still know Andy Dufresne.
Just have that one memory you've tagged that it always goes back to, just recursive.
Yeah, so we have James Remar talking about like the old days when we did all this, and I'm expecting him to start talking about the old gods and like, or the elder gods, and how Shao Kahn did a thing.
Yeah. Here's the thing that I've noticed kind of all season, but it's been particularly highlighted in the last four or five episodes, is Gambi is maybe, he's a super soldier. Let's just admit it.
Yeah.
He's just, I don't know why someone as highly trained as he is,
mm-hmm.
is just sitting unattended with a fine clothing shop. Like, with what he knows, apparently he should be in Guantanamo.
Well, sure, but I would say for the same reason that someone as finely trained as he is watching after some kid in a big-ass manor in Gotham. In fact, I want to see a spinoff. I want to see a spinoff of James Remar and Pertwee. I want to see Alfred. I want to see Alfred and Gambi. A spinoff with those two cats. Like, let's do a prequel show.
That is entirely fair.
I
would watch the shit out of that.
Right?
Oh, in a heartbeat. Oh, you'd love to see those two battle and then kind of realize, are we on the same side? Oh, crap. Oh, sorry. My bad. Let's...
Do you know what a smoked kippa is? Well, that depends, my friend. Do you know what ravioli is? Why, yes, I do.
I really think I understand. Thank you, though.
Mine was more eclectic. Michael Caine! No, you're not Michael Caine here!
You're from an entirely different side of that island. Stop talking like that.
I was an Alfred, too!
It's not... Yeah.
All right.
But I have one major complaint.
Uh-huh.
And I want to preface it with the idea that I have really enjoyed this season.
Yeah, I've enjoyed the season too. Like, I'm excited to see where old Shanda McNasty winds up. But I don't know her name. The vice principal who's like,
oh yeah, no, like, somebody's got to be funding.
Yeah, somebody's got to be funding this rogue ASA, right? Somebody she's talking to. Because she saw Proctor. She was down with Proctor.
Yeah, I forgot about her. Yeah, she's hallucined. But they've been renewed, so we're going to see whatever happens. But, this episode alone, I like the flashbacks. I like the battle was fun. I enjoy it.
Uh-huh.
Except, Thunder looks super silly when she's in that little, like, weapon bubble.
Yeah, that was bad.
She just looks super silly.
Mm-hmm.
She
did.
That looked weird. Anyway, I've overall really enjoyed the season, but
mm-hmm.
I'm really hoping that in those like 45 seconds between Jen being, well, I'll give you a couple quotes, freak from a family of freaks, which to me is I understand you're a teenager, but shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Fast forwarding. This is too much. I understand you're a teenager. Yeah. Shut the fuck up.
Uh-huh.
And then her powers kick in, and then suddenly it's like, let's let them make us leave? No, they don't know us. Dear God, I hope that was the renovation in her character, that like where suddenly she's just mature and on board. And the rest of the episode, she is. But
yeah, I think importantly, she saved her dad's life twice with her powers. So yeah, maybe and he they're makes not a such nice, a bad thing.
He makes a nice line out about it. Like, you're making a habit of saving my life. Great. Great.
Yeah.
That would be great character development. But in the meantime, I have spent a lot of time with this woman, and she is not adjusting well to this change. And she's doing so in ways that I can identify as a viewer. Because as a viewer, I'm watching a show about people with superpowers, and she's rejecting the superpowers, and I'm thinking, what the fuck? I want superpowers. Because I'm watching a show with superpowers. It's just hard to relate to.
Uh-huh.
Like, if I had her powers, I would be super pumped about it. Not, for lack of a better word, goth about it.
Yeah. And also, you know, maybe Jen wouldn't have to save your stupid life if you would listen to Gambi and not hit the guy who killed your dad with super strength with your stupid weak fists with only one man's strength. Zap his ass. Fry him. You have powers.
Anything other than... Yeah, I mean, it... Yeah, that's hard not to agree with.
Yeah, like Gambi's like, he has the strength of 10 men, Jeff. Don't fight him. No, I'm going to fight him. Killed my dad.
Again, you present two arguments in one sentence.
Uh-huh.
I know I shouldn't. Kill my dad.
Yeah, so fry him. What did you think of what they did with Khalil? I can't remember his name. I can only remember Khalil. His like code name now. Painkiller. Just yeah, like, and well, those this, dreads this are real dumb. This
is
another thing
I really admire about Tobias is just, dude. If I had a bunch of sidekicks, I would just name them.
Uh huh. Sure. The show doesn't have a Cisco.
Exactly. Like, you're not waiting on somebody to pipe in and do this. He's just drinking a glass of scotch, going, "Your name's this now."
Uh huh. I did like that they like went so far as to have like all the characters make fun of the dreads. Like, no, oh, that's different.
Yeah.
We need this guy to look a little more badass and to show that time has passed.
Yeah.
Except time hasn't really passed. It was just whatever the procedure was. Okay.
Yeah.
But it looks kind of dumb. And his little flourishes when he shoots his darts kind of look dumb.
I didn't mind the flourishes so much. I didn't mind the dreads so much. It's just that somehow I wish it had been... like
time passing?
It's not even that. I just wish that they didn't make him clean shaven every 20 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Because they said, like, yeah, it made everything grow faster. And, like, for that rate of hair growth, he should literally have to shave every 2 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, because that guy looks like he had his face laser shaven. Laser waxed? Whatever they call that procedure, I have no idea.
Yeah. It was a weird decision that was kind of just...
I would have been fine with the same Khalil, except now they're putting him in more...
Yeah.
Well, they costume-wise, they did a great job with this. It's like, that's the same guy you saw a couple weeks ago. Same shape, but suddenly you notice, oh, this dude's cut. And before, it was just like, oh, he's...
He was way more modest.
Yeah, it was modest. Like, he was in good shape. You didn't think about it, but you didn't think, oh, this guy's built. Mm-hmm. Like, they did a good job in costume for that, and they could have just left the whole follicle situation on the sidelines.
Yeah.
No one would have complained.
That's right, Mr. Goss. We've got a follicle folly here on Black Lightning. So... It's just like, here's
stop
a strange
being the nightly
decision
news
that
from
we should do.
1973, Dave. I know. We understand.
Or the modern day mojo on YouTube.
Whichever one floats your boat.
Here's our top 10 follicle follies on the CW.
Yeah.
Number 10. No.
We have time to fill.
No, I don't. Oliver's mini wigs. No, but yeah, I don't know. I felt like it was a weird decision, and then they were like, well, let's hang a lantern on it. I'm like, or you could spend less money on hair.
You're going to hang a lantern on top of unnecessary hair. What if, just an idea, you put a set of clippers on 10, just ran it over.
Yeah. Just get rid of the
just
hair.
Just run it right the hell over.
Spend the extra money on those weird electric bubble VFX.
I didn't even mind the effects. It was just the weird motions behind it. It was distracting. It was distracting.
Took me back to my Power Ranger days, man.
It should have. That was a weird. I don't know, man. I don't know who told her to make those motions with her hands and do it that slowly.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel like it was the right call.
Yeah. I feel like they should have done a little more with the. Jefferson being accused of being a drug dealer at the school. Like, I feel like they should have done a little more with that. There should have been, like, a whole, like, redemption arc or prove that it wasn't him kind of a thing, or either that or a, hey, let's prove, you know, unequivocally to the population of Freeland that it wasn't him. Something like that. I feel like they kind of glossed over a few of these things pretty quickly.
I can't argue with the outright on that. But that's because that storyline was so small, I don't even remember it.
Oh, wow. It was just, you know, those two cops who came in and, like, planted drugs. They, like, searched Jefferson's car, found green light, arrested him. He was in jail for a minute. And then dude whose name I can never remember, Commissioner Gordon of Black Lightning.
Sure, yeah.
Henderson.
There you go.
I was like, no, I'm tired of this shit. And went and found out, like... Started digging through records and found out the one asshole cop on the take was spending way too much money that he knew he didn't have. And
gotcha. Yeah. No.
Threatened him and he outed the other guy, and that was all cool. I love that. I liked Henderson. I want more from Bill Henderson.
Oh yeah,
and
that
I want to see more.
Yeah, that's someone we haven't talked about.
Of his,
there's a lot more to play with him. Like, I liked his progression in general from. We got to shut this guy down to, well, I guess we have something to thank him for.
Mm-hmm.
And in the middle, kind of, let's face it, helping him.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm happy with that. I like that character. And, I absolutely like to see more of him.
Yep, you will. Season 2 is a pendant.
Oh, it is. It is. Yeah, you got anything else?
I really don't think I do.
I'd like to see more of Anissa and Grace. I'd like to see maybe that Grace has a secret or something, you know, because she was sort of like a raised by Amazons type of situation in the comics. That'd be kind of cool. But
they did kind of abandon Anissa and any other relationship than other than that with their family, but they had a lot to deal with.
They didn't have time. They were trying to shoehorn in too many other things.
I know. That's one of the things. It's like, I respect that. There was a lot to do. I think I probably would have been annoyed if they'd carved out, you know, 30 minutes in one episode and 5 minutes in four other to deal with that storyline. I would have thought, oh, come on.
Mm-hmm.
We have bigger issues on board here. Like, we've got a family full of superpowered people and a city under arrest. Like, it just deal with that.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's a long-standing tradition for me. I always want to backseat the romantic relationships in favor of superpowers.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think I go the opposite way. But I'd rather see relationships than superpowers.
I don't know. I can appreciate it, but I know which way I lean. And it's
I need
it's
the relationships generally... to make me care about the superpowers.
Yes. That's important. But when I have a whole storyline dealing with some relationship problem that I've seen 6,000 times because I'm a TV viewer, I do eventually get a little bored with it. At some point, I'm like, how is this going to empower the story where you punch someone with supernatural powers? What? I just... explain the linkage to me or I don't care.
I get you. I mean, it works both ways, though. I need something to make me care about the punchage.
I do get that.
By the way, I don't want to be like unfair to the guy that played Martin Proctor. I think his name is Greg Henry. He was a good guy in The Train Job, at least on Firefly. He was a sheriff. He was trying to get them.
Oh hell, he
them
was
medicines to them people.
He was.
He was an antagonist because he was in the way of Mal and the crew.
Yeah,
but he was a good guy.
But he was an anti-antagonist.
He was an antagonist. He just wasn't a villain.
Exactly. Do the math. Yeah, no, he was a good guy in disguise.
Ain't never been good at math.
That episode as a bad guy. That turned out to be a good guy, because that's how Firefly rolled.
Yeah.
Because, like, when you're... Firefly's the whole time awesome. You're watching Firefly, it's also just... It's the tale of a bunch of rogue people who were, I don't know, in a black and white society kind of bad guys that... We're seeing it from their angle kind of situation. Yeah, I had completely forgotten he was there. And you're right. That was one of the times where I really identified with him and didn't think he was being a dick.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Just a salt of the earth, good dude, you know?
Yeah.
In that episode. I thought. Maybe if I go back and watch it, it'll be
who knows?
Different. But...
Who knows? Yeah. You can go back and think, oh, what an asshole. But yeah, anyway. It's not on him. That he's cast a certain thing, or that he takes certain roles. I don't know. But, yeah, he just... Every time I see him, I root against him.
Mm-hmm.
'Tis the nature of these things.
And as per your as per your contract, you will be murdering a puppy.
Right.
We're having the writers rewrite that scene right now.
While looking it in the eyes.
Right.
And then his agent is like, this is what we talked about, man. Just one time I want to sing. Fuck you and your dreams. This is who you are.
You want to sing about killing puppies. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. It's going to be in a minor key.
But I'm happy about it. No.
That'll be the irony.
Yeah. All right, let's call it.
Yep, shut it down.
It's a good show. Looking forward to season 2.
Yep.
And
I'm appreciating, just for time management purposes, just for that I think it's going to be mid-season. Because, damn it, there are a lot of shows right now.
I hope so, because I wish all of these were, like, layered, like, mid-season.
I know,
like,
it's just
I wish all of these
so
shows
many.
Were, like, 13 episodes.
I know.
Anyway. We hope you enjoyed this episode. What?
Not a value judgment at all. Just, God, there's a ton of CW shows.
There are. I could deal with every show that I watch, except for maybe Brooklyn Nine-Nine being shortened.
Yeah. No, I think you would like episodes of Brooklyn Nine-Nine that were about 2.5 episodes, or 2.5 episodes, or hours long. Yeah. And you'd be pretty happy.
If they kept the quality up, sure.
Sure, yeah. Just every week a new Brooklyn movie.
Yeah, I'd be down with that. All right. We hope you enjoyed this episode of DC on Screen. We have 477 other episodes that came before this. So if you dug that, you'll probably dig those. We'll be coming back with a news episode where we'll be talking about all the current things. And a lot of stuff has started to happen. A lot of news has been dropping
finally
last few days. So, yeah, finally. I like to think we keep it fun, even when there's not a lot of news. So go back and check it out if you like, if you're new to the show. If you like what we do, please jump over to iTunes and give us a review, a positive review, if you feel like we deserve it. It does help us out in the rankings and getting new listeners. And anyway, DC on Screen over on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, we're around. Come talk to us. We're very, accepting. Is that talkative? Whatever. Like, you know, there's no barrier, man. Like, you know, don't feel like we're above you or anything. Just, like, I've had people say, like, oh, I was intimidated to talk to you guys.
We do the talks.
Yeah.
With all the peoples.
We do the talks with all the peoples.
Periods.
So, you know, sometimes we don't get back to you right away, but most of the time we do.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, there's no barrier. We're just a couple of dudes hanging out and recording our thoughts on this stuff. So come and talk about your stuff, what you think about it, and we might even talk about it on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I don't know. I keep thinking there's something else I need to be saying. But you know what? Just until next time, keep some DC on your screen. Our opening narration was from Dan Juergen's The History of the DC Universe, Part 3 of 10, as featured in DC 52, Week 4. It was performed by me, David C. Robertson. Intro music by Jason Goss and Michael Shackelford. Michael's band, Future Elevators, could be found on Spotify or future-elevators.com. Our introduction was performed by Effie Opelders of the fantastic podcast Stealing the Remote, which lives on SoundCloud. It can also be found on iTunes and Stitcher. We are proudly in partnership with TV Time, TV show calendar and social media site that lets you keep track of what you're watching, what your friends are watching, and where you all left off. DC on Screen is a Maladjusted production. Visit maladjusted.tv for more from me and Jason, including sketch comedy, an improvised web series, vlogs, parodies, and more.